I don't expect everyone we come in contact with to become a great dance artist or even a great audience member, but having the exposure, you know, it's like, I hate kale. Well, I actually do hate kale, but I hate kale. Have you ever tasted it? Yes, and that's why I hate it. So I hate opera. Are you sure you haven't had a taste of it enough to decide whether you want to re-expose yourself or to deny yourself and your whole family that experience? And that's just a little bit of opening up. You know, teenagers are teenagers and they're fabulous and self-obsessed. They also really like action and like socializing. And if we can get that to be a trigger to get people to move together and just respond to one another, that's already some kind of dancing.
Can you talk about maybe an example of what you do, especially when you're maybe just doing a single session with young people? What sort of things do you do with them to bring dance to them?
Well, the old technique of tricking somebody into having fun. You know, rhythm games or just spatial consciousness, holding hands, looking at each other. With little kids, you do, instead of like run, run, leap, you do jump over this, what kids do already. They make up fabulous fantasies about what part of the floor you can step on and what's going to happen to you if you do something out of the rules, you know, because children are super strict when it comes to sort of policing themselves with their own rules. So if we can trick people into applying their own strict enforcement of imagination, then it's a fabulous opening of everything. That works with kids, it works with seniors, it works with gentlemen who only go to the ballet or the opera because their wives or husbands take them there.
I just had a chance to sit in on the Dance with PD program here at Cranard. Can you tell me how that first began? How did you develop the idea that this is something that's really good for folks with movement disorders? Mm-hmm.
A couple of my dancers, David Leventhal and John Higginbotham, with the Brooklyn Parkinson's group, with the first group of people who came in to take a class, they made up a syllabus, a curriculum of what worked in trying to get people dancing who had Parkinson's. So it was a collaborative effort that turned into a whole sort of protocol of how to teach people action, singing and dancing together based on my choreography for people who had to do it in a chair or in a walker or standing, or people who had very low stamina, people who don't leave the house very much because of the way that Parkinson's affects people, you get sort of shut off. And so a dozen years later, this program is all over the world, and it enables people to get past the threshold. A lot of people stall out or have difficulty controlling tremors and facial expression, and just sort of the affect that people have in different stages of Parkinson's is difficult for people to communicate. Again, it's a kind of a trick, to trick people into moving with music and expressing themselves gesturally, corporeally, and emotionally is an incredible sort of cleansing. And no one's healed, but people are actually improved, and they get out of the house and they meet each other, and they're fiercely defensive of this program, specifically because they're not being scrutinized clinically. And they're not just Parkinson's patients, they're dancers.